Hello and welcome to our 16th writing lesson. Today we're going to talk about something that's very common for people whose circle of friends includes people from their workplace. So we're going to talk about invitations. We're going to see two different types of invitations. The first one is an invitation to an event that is being hosted by the people from work. And the second invitation is the kind of message that you might send to your coworker, inviting them to just relax after work. So we're going to see how different these two kinds of messages are, even though the work-related message is going to be a little bit more casual than usual, because it is an invitation. So without further ado, let's get to work, shall we? So what we have here is a message that is being sent by Emily Sanders, and she is sending this message to the whole team. So you can imagine that maybe she is from HR and they're planning an event or something like that. And so this message is being sent to more than one person. So that's why the greeting that she is using is "Hello all." So let's see what she says in the first phrase of her message. She starts by saying, "I am sending something, this message to invite you to our third new hire greeting luncheon." First of all, do you remember what a luncheon is? A luncheon is like lunch, but instead of just being you and your coworkers or your friends, it's an event. So it's not just you and having casual conversations with other people. Very often during a luncheon, there's going to be a business aspect to it. It's like a business lunch for a lot of people. So yeah, she says, "Hello all." What is gonna go in that blank? Because I mean, she is talking about the people she is sending the message to. So our three options are "all you," "you all," or "you're all." Well, the third one can't be correct, because why would you have a possessive there? "Your" is a possessive. It doesn't really work in this context. Now, for the first option, "all you," it's almost correct. It's only missing one thing. It would be a good choice if you had "all of you." "I am sending all of you this message." That is correct. However, "I am sending all you the message." That's not correct. So the best option that we have is, "I am sending you all this message." So if instead of talking about you, if I were talking about another group of people, what I could say is, "I am sending them all a message." So here, the message is not going to you, it's going to a group of people. So the idea is that when you're talking about a group, everyone in a group, you can use "them all" or "you all" or "us all." So let's change the perspective. You could also say something like, "He sent us all a nice message." So every one of us received this nice message that this man sent us. But anyways, long story short, the best option is B. So let's choose that. And so she goes on by saying, "As you know, we have 5 new recruits joining our team, and this is a great opportunity to do something, to know them better." So she starts this phrase by using the expression "as you know." What she does with this particular phrase is to establish that you know this information that I am going to talk about. So in Portuguese, this phrase would be very similar to something like "como você sabe?" And then she talks about this specific information that they all know. So our options for the blank are "get to," "set to," and "have to." Well, the third option doesn't really sound like something related to an opportunity, because when you say "you have to do something," you are talking about an obligation, not something that the person would choose to do. And option B, set to know them better. What does that even mean? It doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't work. It only looks like the correct answer, which is A, get to know them better. As I have mentioned before, when you have the expression get to do something, you are very often talking about an opportunity. So if you have the expression something like, I don't get to travel very often, what you are saying here is that you don't have the opportunity to travel very often. It might sound a little bit redundant when you already have a great opportunity before, but these are different expressions, so it doesn't really sound very redundant. So yeah, it would be completely correct if you chose A for this blank. So let's choose it and see what's next. So this is a great opportunity to get to know them better and introduce who? Who is going to be introduced? Well, if I'm going to meet a new recruit, I am going to introduce myself to them. However, it's not me, it's we as a group. I am part of this finance team who is receiving this message. So what would be right in this context? Introduce yourself, introduce themselves, or introduce yourselves? Well, you see, Emily is writing this message to a group of people. So it can't be A, because yourself is for only one person. So if I come to you and say, please, tell me about yourself, I am talking to only one person, who is you. So why can't it be B? Well, because this message is addressed to you as a group of people, you and your team. So the only correct option here would have to be C, yourselves. So I'm telling you and all your friends, all your co-workers to introduce yourselves. So now that we know that this is the correct option, let's move on. It's also a great occasion to something, a good chat and eat excellent food. That's often the best part about luncheons. So the verb that's gonna go into the blank, it has to be related to chat because you're doing something, a good chat. So do you have a good chat with someone? Do you take a good chat with someone? Or do you make a good chat with someone? So there is an expression that uses make and is a little bit similar to chatting. It's the expression make conversation. So to make conversation means that you are going to have not a very important conversation. Imagine that you are in the elevator with somebody that you don't know very well. And then you say, oh, looks like it's gonna rain today, right? So you're just making conversation. You're not really saying anything important. But this expression only works with conversation, not chat. Another expression that doesn't work is to take a chat. So take a good chat doesn't really work. What really works is have a good chat. So you can have a conversation with someone and you can also have a chat with someone. So let's choose that option and see what's next. And so she gets more specific. She says, we have a table at Chef John's this Friday at 12:30 p.m. Can I count you to be there? So Chef John's is the name of the restaurant. And so she says that at this specific time, they have a reservation. They have a table at the restaurant. So what about the blank? Do you remember what preposition you use with count? This is a phrasal verb, really. So it's only going to work with this meaning in this configuration. So is it count with you? Is it count on you? Or is it count in you? So count in you is not really an expression in English. Count with is not a phrasal verb. What it means is literally to use something, to count another thing. So for example, I am going to count how many books are here. Well, there's one book, there's two books. So I'm counting with my fingers. I'm just using my fingers to count. So in this sense, count has the meaning of contar, as in to measure numbers, to find numbers, which has nothing to do with what the person is saying in this message. However, if you have the expression count on, it changes the meaning of the word count. To count on can also be translated as contar in Portuguese, but it means to trust someone. So you have an expression, I'm counting on you. That means I am expecting that you are going to be there for me. It means that I trust you and your actions. So here what she's asking is, can I confirm that you will be there? So let's choose option B, which is to count on you, and move on. So now we have our first text, our first message. Let's take a look at it. So Emily Sanders is sending this message to the whole team at the finance department. So you have the first greeting, hello all, because she is talking to a group. And then she says what this invitation is all about. She explains what the event is going to be. So it's going to be a luncheon where all the members of the finance team are going to meet the new recruits, the new hires. And then she says where it's going to be, Chef John's, and when, this Friday at 12:30 p.m. And then she asks, can I count on you to be there? So in other words, can I expect that you will be there? And then she finishes by saying, you may RSVP by email or just give me a heads up at the office. To RSVP is to confirm that you will be at an event. And also another interesting expression here is to give someone a heads up. So to give someone a heads up means that you are telling someone that something is going to happen, or you are giving somebody a specific piece of information, a warning, or maybe a notification that something important is happening, and you just want to remind the person that there is something important going on. So for example, you have a friend who is traveling, and then you tell him, well, give me a heads up when you arrive. So I am waiting for you to arrive from your trip. As soon as you arrive, let me know. Just call me, just give me a heads up and we'll go and have a few drinks or something like that. Now let's see a second invitation. This one much less formal than this one, even though this is not a very formal invitation. So here we have a message from Edward Sanders to Jane Seacrest and Thomas H. Fisher. So do you remember them? That's Ed, Jane, and Tom, the people who were gossiping a little bit in the Unit 9 dialogue. Remember them? So here, Ed is inviting Jane and Tom to just socialize after work. So notice that since they are good friends, since this is a very casual kind of message, a personal message, he is starting the message by saying, hey guys. So this is a very casual meeting. You would use it when you're feeling very much at ease with all your colleagues, when you feel very familiar with them. So now that this week is finally what? Final? Over or end? Well, finally final, that doesn't sound right, right? That's because it doesn't really make sense in this situation. A better option would be option B, finally over. So this is over. The week is over. To say that something is over means that it has come to its end. So it is finished. So option C could not really work in this situation because end is a noun. So the best option for us here is option B. This week is finally over. So now that this week is finally over, I'm thinking we should get together and have a couple of drinks. Let me just talk a little bit about a couple of. So a couple literally means two people who are in a relationship. So in Portuguese, you would say casal, but it doesn't necessarily mean two. It can mean more than two. So a couple of drinks would be something like alguns drinks. So you're not really talking about a precise amount. It is more than one, but it doesn't have to be a lot. It's just a couple. What do you think? I say we meet something south after work this Friday, maybe around 6, and just shoot the breeze. First of all, let's start by the end. What does this expression mean? Shoot the breeze. Shoot the breeze means to just, you know, relax and chat with your friends. So to shoot the breeze is to have like a very relaxed conversation, just, you know, after work, you're with your friends having a beer or maybe having some coffee, and you know, you're just shooting the breeze, just talking about your day, about unimportant things. So Sal's is going to be the place where they're going to go and shoot the breeze and have a few drinks. So it's a bar, a pub. So when you're talking about a specific location, like a restaurant or maybe a bar, what preposition would you use? On, at, or in? Well, on is not going to work in this context, and in might make sense if you are being specific that you're going to meet inside the restaurant. But you're only talking about the location. You're not really talking about being inside the restaurant. So the best option here is going to be at. Let's meet at Sal's. And also take a look at what he says after that. He says maybe around 6. So around 6. That means it can be 6 or 6:30 or maybe 5:30. So it's not a very exact time. So here you can notice a difference between an email from work and an email between friends. Friends don't need to be so precise about the schedule, about the moment in which they're gonna go somewhere. So let's choose at and move on. And so Ed goes on and asks, are you something? What goes in the blank? Are you up to it? Are you up for it? Or are you up to you? Well, option A, up to it, is not really gonna work here because it means something different. It talks about having the capability of doing something, but it's a very rare expression. I haven't seen it being used very often. Option B, up for it, that's a much better option because it means that you're asking if the person is interested. So, are you up for it? That means, are you interested? So this is going to be our correct answer. But option C has an interesting expression as well. And that expression is up to you. So it's up to you. Is an expression that says, well, you choose. It's your decision. So I am not going to choose. You say what we are going to do. So what are we going to do tonight? Well, I don't know. It's up to you. You tell me. But here the best option is going to be B, because he's making an invitation. He is asking if his friends are interested. And then he says, well, just let me know and I'll get us a table. Sal's gets really busy Fridays and I'll probably be too tired to drink standing up all night. So yeah, they've been having a really stressful week and he just wants to relax. So he doesn't want to stand up, you know, drinking. He just wants to have a table where he can sit and relax. But to do that, he's gonna need to make a reservation. Why? Well, because this bar, Sal's, gets really busy on Fridays. Remember, on Fridays. Whenever you have a day of the week, you're going to use on. And it's in the plural because I am talking about every Friday. So now let's choose on and see what happens. There we go. Now we have a very casual invitation from Ed to Jane and Tom. So he starts by very casually saying, "Hey guys." And then he says, "Well, this has been a long week, right? So now that this week is finally over, I'm thinking we should get together and have a couple of drinks." So he is making an invitation here. He's just asking them if they want to have a few drinks as well. So he suggests a time, he suggests a place, and then he asks, "Are you up for it? Are you interested?" In other words. And then he says, "Well, please let me know, right? Because I need to make a reservation." And the way he says that he's going to make a reservation is by saying, "I'll get us a table." And so that concludes our messages and also concludes our writing lesson for today. As always, thank you very much for watching. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask them. Don't be shy. We're here to help. So see you next time. Happy studies.